www.thebridgeway.com.
All right, so we're diving into kind of the message portion of things today. We will be focused on that passage we just read, but we have some stuff before that. Like, you know how, like, in the wintertime, snow comes and goes here in Wisconsin, right? Like, it snows, and then it starts getting melty and dirty and slushy, and it's full of leaves and mud, and it's kind of gross. But then, inevitably, because it's Wisconsin, it will snow again. And it'll cover everything in white, and it's kind of like, ah, everything is fresh and feels new and that sort of thing. That fresh fallen snow, it brings this beauty in the world, and it brings this kind of sense of hope sometimes. And I think sometimes we need that kind of experience with Christmas. Right? Like, sometimes we just need a fresh experience of Jesus to kind of rekindle our hope, that hope in our lives and in this Christmas season. So today, that's kind of where we're focused on. It's message for today is Awake to New Hope. We're going to look at three movie clips. And two of them are pretty traditional Christmas movies. The first one is a clip from It's a Wonderful Life, right? Debatably, probably not even debatably, the number one Christmas movie of all time, right? Most of the time, it's number one on the list. And FYI, a few of us watched it last night, and it still is great 70-something years later, right? So second clip we're going to see, not in this order, but is from A Christmas Carol. Now, there's a number of movies made about this story, but the story is a classic, and so we'll see a clip from A Christmas Carol. And then we're going to take a look at a clip from a third movie that, in my opinion, is not just a great Christmas movie, but one of my personal kind of all-time favorite movies, period. It's called The Family Man, right? It's Nicolas Cage and Téa Leoni. And the interesting thing about all three of these movies is that they have pretty much the same plot. They could all be Hallmark movies. But they're in different contexts. And so we can kind of roll through the plot as it unfolds and just show clips almost interchangeably. So that's kind of how the clips are going to work this morning. So each one starts, in essence, with a main character whose life is headed in a certain direction, and for whatever reason, it isn't particularly good. For instance, here's a scene from It's a Wonderful Life where George Bailey meets his guardian angel, Clarence, after, a lot of difficulty was going on in his life. So let's take a look at that clip first. Wealthy, but hates Christmas, and pretty much everyone, right? Okay, so this is the characters that these movies start with. And next, all three of them have a supernatural encounter of some kind, and they get a glimpse of a different reality. So George Bailey gets a look at what life would be like if he were never actually born. Ebenezer Scrooge gets a look at Christmas past, Christmas future, and Christmas present. And Jack Campbell, from The Family Man, well, he gets to see the life and the family that he could have had he chosen a different path. In this next clip, Jack is confronted by his would-be daughter, who clearly sees that her dad is not quite himself. Let's take the next clip. So these are the glimpses that these individuals get, and then finally, in the course of their experiences, they have a change of heart. George Bailey realizes that even though life went off the rails, it still matters, and he wants to live no matter what comes next. Jack Campbell from The Family Man is determined to fight for the relationship that he kind of blew off in order to pursue his career. And Ebenezer Scrooge is, of course, a changed man who immediately starts being generous and joyful and caring. And so here's a clip from A Christmas Carol, the Jim Carrey version, animated. Let's take a look at that. Everybody's waving at me this morning. So friendly. Merry Christmas! The shepherds at Jesus' birth have a similar experience. Right? In that same region, there were shepherds out in the field keeping watch over their flocks by night. Right? The shepherds, they were just out in their fields doing their thing, watching over their sheep, guarding over them, just like any other day. Like, life was what it was for them. But then they get this unexpected announcement by an angel. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those whom he has pleased." I always think about that scene and picture that, and I kind of go, man, that must have been one of the coolest things in the Bible to see. I'm asking God for the DVD when I get there, right? Or throw the challenge flag for a replay, something like that. Just how cool would that moment have been to see a multitude of angels praising God? When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told to them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered what the shepherds told them. Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told them. So just like the movie plots, right? Life was going in a certain direction for the shepherds. They had a supernatural encounter with a visitor, an angel, a multitude of angels actually. And that gave them a glimpse into God's plan of salvation through a baby born in Bethlehem. They came face to face with the Savior of the world, and it changed them. Their hearts were full and they were awake to new hope. They praised God as a result. And we see the same kind of thing happening over and over again in the accounts of the birth of Jesus. Think about Mary, right? Mary probably saw her life unfolding in a certain way. She was going to marry Joseph. They were going to have a family. They were going to grow old together. And some of those things still occurred, right? Mary had other kids. Jesus had half brothers and sister in the family. But when Gabriel appeared to her and told her she was going to have the Messiah, like the life that she thought she was going to have was kind of completely thrown out the window. Everything was going to be totally different, and now she was going to be raising the promised Messiah. Same thing with Joseph. Like, he figured he was going to get married, have a family, probably continue in the trade. And he did those things. We don't know exactly for how long. But he too had an encounter, right? As God appeared to him in a dream in the middle of the night, said, "Hey, take Mary as your wife." Now he would be raising the Savior of the world. His whole perspective had changed. Mary and Joseph were both awake to new hope. There were Simeon and Anna, who we read about next in Luke 2. We won't read through that this morning, but they had an encounter with Jesus. Simeon had this supernatural encounter. God had somehow revealed to him that he was going to see the promised Messiah in his time before he died. He lived with this anticipation of this moment once he had it, but then here the time was finally here. He understood Jesus was going to be the hinge pin, the kind of the hinge point of his people's history, of all history. There would be those in Israel who would fall because they failed to believe him. There would be those who would rise because they would follow in faith. And now he could rest in peace knowing the Savior had come. Right? He was awake to new hope. Anna, same kind of thing. She hadn't received that same kind of supernatural promise, but she was a prophetess. So she too had heard from the Lord. And then she too encountered the baby Savior. That changed her. So she couldn't stop telling others about him. She was awake to new hope. Time and time and time again, we see these characters, these people encounter Jesus, and it changes everything for them, just as it should for us. Like, whatever life was going to be before, it would be totally different now. Because they and we have encountered Jesus. They and we are awake to new hope. As we head into this Christmas season, Let me ask you, how awake are you? How awake are you? Like, if you've had that faith encounter with Jesus, we should be awake to a new hope. And I think most of you, maybe all of you here this morning would say, yeah, that's happened. I put my faith and trust in him at some point. But I want to ask you now, are you finding yourself filled with wonder and awe? Are you awake to new hope? Are you finding yourself captivated by Jesus because you're encountering him each day? Are you discovering him more and more? Are you growing deeper in connection with him? Or do you find yourself kind of sleepy? Right? Maybe needing to wake up a little bit. Now, I can't offer you an encounter with an angel this morning or a glimpse of the multiverse where life is different in like every strand or whatever. But here's what I hope we can do this morning. I can give you a chance to think about and picture Jesus maybe a little bit differently this morning. And maybe you too, as a result, will be awake to a new hope. Okay. I'm going to invite someone to come up on stage. Oh, I thought Tiara would bring her, but I guess it's going to be Deej. All right. I got to hold Sparrow a couple of days ago, right? Can I take her from you for a few minutes? Hi. Hi. Well, we'll see how this goes. I got to hold her a few days ago. It was she was probably about 2 weeks old at that point. She's awesome. Congrats to these guys, by the way. This is the first time in person. They get to show her off a little bit, right? So now I want you to picture in your mind what you typically think of when you think of Jesus, the precious and perfect Son of God. Like, I know for me, certain images come to mind, but this morning as you picture Jesus, I want you to think about him not as the one who would walk on water or calm the sea or multiply the loaves to feed thousands with fish and bread. Picture Jesus, but not as the one who healed the sick, who gave sight to the blind, who made the deaf hear, the lame walk, and brought people back to life. Right? Picture Jesus, but not as the one who would give his life on the cross and die for the sins of the world, and then he himself would be raised to life on the third day, just as he predicted. Instead, picture yourself meeting Jesus like this. Like this. Like when Mary and Joseph first got to meet him. Like when Simeon and Anna first saw him. Or like when the shepherds did. Like you'd be seeing and holding the Savior of the world, the King of the universe, a helpless, dependent, fragile baby. And I was trying to think, like, what would we think? What would I think if I had a chance to do it? What would you think if you had a chance to do that? Like, as you looked at him, like any newborn child, your mind would probably be filled with wonder. Right? Like yes, this is Emmanuel, God with us. This is the King of the universe. This is the God of eternity in the flesh. And you'd think, I'm holding him in my arms. I mean, this baby is so fragile and weak and helpless and dependent. Like, what if something were to happen to him? What if someone were to try and hurt him? What if someone dropped him? I'm not going to do that. I got a death grip up here. You don't see it, but. But you think, like, wow, this is crazy. How is this even possible? Is this really the Savior of the world? What exactly will this life bring for him? How will this, I mean, before anything Jesus did, they would look at this child and think, how is this little baby going to change the world for good? Right? How would he accomplish salvation for those who would believe. How is that going to go down? And then after thinking about all those things, you probably ask something like this. Why would God do something like this? Hi. Send a little baby into the world. The king of the universe as a baby. Why would God do something like this? And as you looked at that baby Savior, you'd probably be a little overcome with emotion, right? As you realize the answer to that question is, why did he do this? For me. He did this for me. He came for me. Like so many questions. So many questions, but so much hope. And it would stir in you a spirit of worship. Hi. Right there. No, not yet. Trust the pastor. That's okay. She's worth it. This morning as we close, look, there is no big idea. There's no like 3 points and a prayer. Just can we take a moment to connect with Jesus who came into this world as a baby. And it woke the world up. It awoke us. Awake to new hope. He made all who encountered him awake to new hope. And that's just my prayer for us this Christmas, that we would experience that. So let's pray, and we're going to close with one more song. Father God, we thank you. One, we thank you for this little girl, for Sparrow, who is so awesome. We also thank you for your son, Jesus, the most awesome thing that we could ever receive and experience. Thank you for your willingness to send him into this world, completely dependent on those around him, weak and fragile. And if we had a chance to behold him like Mary and Joseph and the shepherds, we would be filled with wonder. And God, this Christmas, we ask that you would fill our hearts with wonder again, that we would have a new perspective, a perspective like those movies we just saw, like the shepherds' experience, like Mary, like Joseph, like Simeon and Anna. That we would just realize the incredible gift that you've given to us in the Son, in your Son, Jesus, come as a baby, and we would be awake to a new hope. And that our response would be just like theirs was, that we would worship and praise you. And God, as we close our time with this song, may it be in that spirit that we worship you now. Because it's in his name, the name of Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us, that we pray these things. Amen.
Thanks for listening to the podcast of the Portico Church in Oshkosh, Wisconsin. You can find out more about our church at porticocommunity.com.